Well, Sona, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas has its final concert of the inaugural 2011-2012 season. I spoke with conductor Paul Haas about the concert, which will feature Beethoven's Ninth Symphony alongside Mahler's Adagietto from his Fifth Symphony. The first question I had was why he paired those two works. A pairing of two amazing works. How did you think about putting those two together?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, at first glance, this is a piece by Beethoven written in the late 1820s, and then there's another piece written, around the turn of the 19th and the 20th centuries. So we've got quite a bit of distance there in terms of time, and stylistically, they're very, very different. One is classical and one is very, very, very late romantic. And so at first glance, no, there's nothing in common, but actually there is. What I was going for with this concert was it was an exploration of different kinds of love and the idea that you can love someone who's very close to you and have it be a very personal, romantic, dedicated kind of love, the way it is in the Mahler. This is a piece, the Mahler Adagietto is a piece that Mahler wrote for Alma, who was his soon-to-be fiancée and then wife, basically a declaration of love to her. And it's just this gorgeous piece of music, and it encapsulates this feeling of total head-over-heels dedication of your life to someone else. Whereas for me and for, of course, many, Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 and the Ode to Joy, it's a different kind of love. It's the love of all humanity, a love of your brother, love of your sister, love of all humankind. And so what I wanted to do was go from this very insular, one-to-one kind of love and then broaden out and have this expansive, universal, worldwide kind of love. And it's a lovely progression, and I have always wanted to do it.
Yeah, they both are very passionate works, but in a very different sense, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the passion is very readily apparent in the Mahler Adagietto, which we'll hear first. Of course, it starts out very slowly, and it gets more and more heated, and it's slightly episodic. Almost torturous at times. I mean, just very, very involved in itself. You know what I mean? And so it's very much what we're used to. I mean, so you make a very good soundtrack. In fact, it has been the soundtrack to quite a few movies. And so then on the other hand, you have the Beethoven, which is, as with most Beethoven symphonies, it's a trajectory from the beginning of the symphony all the way to 65 minutes later at its end, from this, it's a very Beethovenian thing to start out with sort of fate motive and, things not going very well and minor modes. And it's all very dark in the beginning, and you progress through this entire symphony. And then at the end, and in the first time ever in music history, you have voices in a symphony. So you have four vocal soloists as well as an entire chorus on stage for that last movement. And it's as if the sun comes out of the heavens. And as we proclaim and profess this love for all humankind, it's just an extraordinary moment.
And so you'll be doing this with the Sona Singers again. Tell us a little bit about how that's going to work out, like how you guys practice together, get the vocals in with the symphony.
Sure. Well, as you know, and maybe our listeners know, we began the Sona Singers this year under the very, very capable direction of Terry Hicks. We have a group of about 40 to 50 singers who are some of the best in the area, And we've brought them together under the aegis of SONA, of the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas. And it's just been astonishing to see how good they actually are. And it's just wonderful to be able to put them on stage. But we're also, you know, as if that weren't enough, we're partnering with JBU, their chorus, as well as a high school chorus from Bentonville High School. And so together, all those groups add up to over 130 singers who will be on stage with just about 70 orchestra musicians. So total, we're going to have, plus the soloists, we're going to have over 200 people on that stage.
How are you going to fit all those people up there?
We're going to squish them very tight. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's been very carefully planned. The people at the Walden Arts Center are very, very capable. And we've been talking about this since last fall because it is a huge number of people. Given the right riser configuration and scooting the orchestra over where the pit is, right up the apron of the stage there, it's just going to fit. And it's a good thing because we're going to blow the roof out.
And let's talk about what an adagietto actually is. What is that form?
Well, it's interesting. That's adagio means, a lot of people think it means slow. Actually, it means at ease. But it's an Italian word, and it's become sort of misunderstood in its old age. So, you know, people think it means slow, and adagietto doesn't mean at ease. It means a little bit at ease. So it's like the diminutive form of adagio. So, you know, if you have the name Maria, and then the diminutive is Marietta, right? And, you know, dear and deary in English. So anyway, adagietto is kind of the cute form of adagio. And so this has the connotation of being not quite as at ease as adagio. So it's a little faster. And interestingly, throughout the history of this piece, conductors have taken really wildly different tempi. And so the present time, most people will clock in at about, I don't know, 9 to 10 minutes for this piece. But and there are recordings from, you know, the 70s, 80s. Where it's as long as 13 minutes, some close to 14 minutes. But closer to the time when it was written, most of the performances are more like 7 minutes.
Wow.
And so, I mean, if you look at 7 minutes versus 13 minutes...
That's a big difference.
That's pretty much twice as fast.
Yeah.
Or twice as slow, depending which one you're looking at. So it's a widely, you know, everyone thinks, oh, well, not everyone, but every musician thinks, oh, I know the adagietto. But really, with all these different interpretations, it's a can of worms, basically.
And how do you have in mind how fast you're going to conduct it?
Oh yeah, 9 minutes and 53 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be pretty standard in terms of the amount of time it takes. Very unstandard, of course, in terms of the communication and emotions and everything like that. We tend to want to have fun up there. We tend to want to communicate. And the musicians and I cannot wait to play this piece for the audience. It's gonna be hot, in common parlance.